एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, who can fulfill the desires of everyone and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Thank you for your association. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, Text Number 6, and we will start with our invocation mantra. Let us, if possible, please sit crisscross in a yoga position with our back straight, our eyes closed, and try to imagine the Supreme Lord that we worship inside of our heart. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Svadishnyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikunthalila vidhyanam samadhanam tathatmanah. Svadishnyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikunthalila vidhyanam samadhanam tathatmanah. Svadhishnyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikunthalila vidyanam samadhanam tathatmanah. Svadhishnyanam, within the vital air circles, ekadeshe, in one spot, manasa, with the mind, prana, the vital air, dharanam, fixing, vaikuntha lila, on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, abhidhyanam, concentration, samadhanam, samadhi, tatha, thus, and atmana, of the mind. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. Fixing the vital air and the mind in one of the six circles of vital air circulation within the body, thus concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called samadhi, or samadhana of the mind. I will read the translation one more time. Fixing the vital air and the mind in one of the six circles of vital air circulation within the body, thus concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called samadhi, or samadhana of the mind. Purport. There are six circles of vital air circulation within the body. The first circle is within the belly. The second circle is in the area of the heart. The third is in the area of the lungs. The fourth is on the palate. The fifth is between the eyebrows. And the highest, the sixth circle, is above the brain. One has to fix his mind and the circulation of the vital air, and thus think of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It is never mentioned that one should concentrate on the impersonal or void. It is clearly stated, Vaikuntha lila, lila means pastimes, unless the absolute truth, this personality of Godhead, has transcendental activities, where is the scope for thinking of these pastimes? It is through the processes of devotional service, chanting and hearing of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one can achieve this concentration. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord appears and disappears according to his relationships with different devotees. The Vedic literatures contain many narrations of the Lord's pastimes, including the battles of Kurukshetra and historical facts relating to the life and precepts of devotees like Sri Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and Amrish Maharaj. One need only concentrate his mind on one such narration and become always absorbed in its thought. Then he will be in samadhi. Samadhi is not an artificial bodily state. It is the state achieved when the mind is virtually absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhava Shri Chaitanya Ishvara. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Vira Bahu Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shri Vira Bahave. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you to all the assembled devotees. Please give me your blessings that I can speak something of benefit. So here in this past few verses, and even in this entire chapter, we have the description of how we can perform different yogic processes for attaining salvation and for attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in yesterday's class, Mataji was speaking so beautifully about the practical application of these verses, and I thought I would also focus a little bit on that. But in reading this verse and in seeing, entering into this world of Sri Kapila Dev, Devahuti Mata is sitting and Kapila Dev is instructing her on the execution of devotional service, I kind of realized that this world of Srimad Bhagavatam and specifically this environment that Kapila Dev and Devahuti have established, it is such a strong juxtaposition and such a strong contrast to the natural, practical world that we all may find ourselves living in. And it may seem to be so far away for us. Here he's talking to her about fixing the vital air and yogic postures, and then you go on the next verses, on and on and on, and you may feel sometimes like, is this really practical for me? Is this something I can actually do? Most of us, we wake up every single morning, and the alarm rings, we hit the snooze, and because we may be fortunate to have received the blessings of the spiritual master, and of course, all of you devotees who listen to the everyday chant program, you're chanting your japa together and then listening to class together. But most people are not able to do that. They are not able to start their day with focus on Krishna consciousness. The alarm rings, they hit snooze, and then they roll out of bed and they feel like, oh, God, why do I have to wake up this morning? Then all of a sudden, their mind starts going of all the long lists that you have to accomplish that day. If you're going to work, all of the stresses that your colleagues bring and your boss brings, and so you throw on some clothes and you get in the car and you have to fight traffic and then complain in your mind. You're just complaining. You get to work and you hate your job, and everybody you meet around you is a source of frustration. And even if you try to make it so that they're not a source of frustration, The nature of the material world is such that certainly, at least within the day, we'll have 10, 20, 30 items of frustration that ruin our mind, ruin our mood, take the smile off our face, and make us speak harshly or speak frustratingly to someone else. And then you do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and finally Thursday, you're just waiting, waiting. When is the weekend going to come so I can sleep the whole weekend? I don't have to deal with anybody. I don't have to do this job that I don't like. Or if you're a parent and you have young children or older children, you're stressed out about whether or not your child is going to do good at school. Are they finishing their homework on time? Are they satisfying their teachers? And then the list for parents is even so much longer. How can I make sure that they wear their clothes properly? How can I make sure that they eat healthily? How can I make sure that they exercise properly and finish their homework? And, you know, so many long things. And then at the very end, perhaps it would be, oh, are they chanting or are they listening, or pull them along with me to the satsang or to the program. So like this, then you wake up and you hear Srimad Bhagavatam and the conversation is of a different world, of a completely different sphere where there's no rat race, there's no traffic. You know, most of us live in America, and as soon as you get out and get on the road, there's traffic. There's no billboards with all of these different enticements. Here, it seems like this is a beautiful cottage that Devahuti Mata is sitting in, and she has all the luxuries to be able to sit and focus her mind on the fixing her vital air and concentrating on Krishna's pastimes. And then even if we look at all of the devotees in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness that we emulate, all of our gurujis, all of our high-class devotees, most of them are sannyasis. They have so much, they have specifically figured out how to mold their life in such a way without all the material encumbrances. They travel freely, and they have 24 hours a day completely engaged in Krishna service. And many of us may be householders and have so many responsibilities, and we may be thinking it's so far away. How could we be like them? And this feeling of how is this going to happen can cause so much frustration. And then we can feel guilty. Oh, we're not doing enough. We're not Krishna conscious enough. How would we do 24-hour samadhi? And then that mental state of lamentation is also described in the Nectar of Devotion. That, you know, I remember even when I was younger, when I was about a teenage girl, and we had our days were completely still lucky enough to be filled with Krishna. I attended the Gurukul in North Carolina, and my mother and father, we started our day with Mangalarti at the temple, and then all day was at the school. And even still, I remember my mummy, she used to say regularly, I can't wait till I can go and retire in Vrindavan Dham, especially when we wouldn't listen, or as teenage girls, we'd fight back with her. Sometimes out of frustration, she would just say, I just can't wait until all of this janjat or this network of maya is removed and I can go and I can retire in Vrindavan Dham. And so even in the Nectar of Devotion, there is a description of a devotee lamenting. The saintly person thinks like this, when shall I be able to live alone in the caves of the mountains? When shall I be dressed simply with undergarments? When shall I be satisfied just by eating simply a little fruit and vegetables? And in such a spiritual condition, when shall I fully understand my days and nights to be at the lotus feet of Sri Mukunda? So this disappointment that we may be feeling that may come in us every now and then, of we are so far away from this, and how is it practical for us to do this? There is a Sanskrit proverb that says, disappointment gives rise to the greatest satisfaction. So I will a little bit work through that process of how this disappointment can be the goal, can be the start of the greatest satisfaction for us to achieve this samadhi that is spoken of in this world. First of all, the number one point is to first identify who we are. We are all, as we know, Satchidananda Vigraha, just a small part and parcel of the eternal, eternally blissful, full of knowledge, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have the same quality as Him, Satchidananda Vigraha. But in addition to being Satchidananda Vigraha, our intrinsic quality is to always eternally be active. And in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3 and chapter 5, Krishna speaks of this a lot. how in karma yoga you are activating that principle of the soul that is eternally active, eternally moving, eternally in relationships. And he says so nicely here that, O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I also am engaged in work, in prescribed duties. And because if I did not, then all men would follow my path, and it would be a failure. And so he is also eternally active, and he is encouraging us and teaching us gradually how also to be eternally active. Because we may have this misconception that samadhi and fixing the vital air and focusing on your breathing, that we must, like Sri Dhruva Maharaj, go all to a single spot and stay quiet and for, you know, most of the time just sit in meditation in smaranam of Krishna. But actually that is a misconception, because in Kali Yuga we have to activate this principle of being eternally active, which means we are always meant to perform our prescribed duties, so that frustration that comes naturally with waking up and feeding the children and cooking and doing the laundry and working with different people and going to the job and sitting in the car, hitting traffic, all of that is being sanctioned by Sri Krishna. He is directly saying, we must engage and work, and I am engaged in work, and so you also engaged in work. Karma yoga is action in Krishna consciousness, not just emotion. And Srila Prabhupada also spoke very strongly of this principle. Mukunda Maharaj tells in his book, such a beautiful pastime, just different stories of how Srila Prabhupada always engaged the devotees in that active work. And Srila Prabhupada's actual phrase was, work now, samadhi later. Later we can do the samadhi. Now we must use our bodies, use our senses, use our mind in as much work as possible. And he derided, and so did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They rejected and they derided the Bhajanandi principles. There are two different types of devotees. One is the Bhajanandi and one is the Goshtyanandi. The Bhajanandi is very lucky and very fortunate to just stay in one place, in a secluded place, and focus all of their attention and mind on bhajan and kirtan and smaranam. But the Goshtyanandi, he is the one who is the preacher in the active field of preaching in the world, working in the world. And the Goshtyanandi is the one that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become. And he has said that being a Bhajanandi is not practical. We may try it for a little bit of time. We may try this process of just no activity and controlling the breathing process and Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga with Krishna in the center. We may try that. But ultimately, if we are not at a very, very high platform, Uttamadhikari platform, we may find that we are failing. And he did not want to encourage his devotees or his disciples to do that. And so how do we then, Srila Prabhupada is saying, the soul is eternally active. Srila Prabhupada is saying that we must, focus on working for Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is saying that. And then here also, there is talk of this samadhi, attaining this samadhi. So how can we turn our work into samadhi? And there is a famous practice these days called mindfulness. And so for those of you who may not be familiar, I'm sure everyone is familiar with it. Mindfulness is where you stop yourself in as many moments as you can. And it's very similar to samadhi. It's actually, I would consider, the material side of samadhi. And many Mayavadis and many spiritualists and transcendentalists, and nowadays in the yoga society, it's become a very popular type of practice. And it's basically exactly what we learn for our japa, but and even more, how to focus your mind on different points in your day, how to slow yourself down, and how to start appreciating the small moments of each day. And so from the material side, It's a little impersonal. It doesn't yet bring Sri Krishna into it. But there are different things like focusing your mind on small points of beauty in the world. So if, small example, if you wake up in the morning and your children are clamoring to get dressed and then to eat, while they're eating, you sit down and you spend 1 minute just taking a deep breath and watching their faces and being grateful for how they're eating so peacefully. Simple things like that. And you can practice it in so many different environments. If you're driving in a car and you see that there's just rush of cars, then you try and challenge yourself to see what thing here can I slow down and focus on to become appreciative of it. And if someone is speaking to you, whether they're being frustratingly speaking to you or animatedly speaking to you, you just slow down again, slow down your mind, and concentrate on the words they're saying, on the emotion that they're giving, that in every endeavor that you're doing or every interaction that you're having, you slow down and you try and cultivate contentment in the specific moment. Instead of always trying to strive for the next moment, that you stop within those moments and you take each moment at a time. Now, if you practice mindfulness and you've also already been practicing bhakti yoga, it can get a little frustrating because it can feel a little dry once you have tasted the bliss of devotional service. Just practicing mindfulness alone can feel a little dry. So it's important to practice the mindfulness. Here the trick is concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so with this mindfulness of taking each moment at a time, we also inject Sri Krishna, our worshipable Lord. And then immediately that activity that we're doing, that job that we're doing, that becomes an offering to Krishna and that becomes devotional service. So while we have 9 processes of devotional service, of which the first 3, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, are the most prominent, those 3 can happen internally inside one's heart when one starts practicing Krishna-conscious mindfulness in our work activities. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoti, yat ashnashi, yat jahoshi, tadasiyat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva mad arpanam. Every single activity we do, we offer to him. And it was so beautiful at the temple a few weeks back. Nityananda Prabhu, who is our temple president here in Dallas, he had said, you know, you can even sleep for Krishna. Everything you're doing, whether you're eating delicious prasadam, whether you're enjoying your senses with a party with your friends, whether you're sleeping at nighttime, every single thing you're doing, Krishna, is seated inside of your heart. You offer it to him. My dear Lord, this is an offering to you. I need this to keep my body and soul together. I am doing this activity to keep you happy, and I offer all of this to you. And we are so fortunate. Many of us are gifted with so wonderful association with our husbands, our wives, our children, and even every single person that Krishna brings to our life at work or in our jobs. They are also can be seen as gifts towards us. So instead of just mindfulness, materially stopping and listening to them and trying to establish a relationship of appreciation, you can also go one step further. And Krishna is seated in this person's heart. First, if they are Vaishnava, even if they have just chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra one time, they are considered a Vaishnava. And you see them as a gift from Krishna. Instead of the tendency, which is, oh, they're all bringing me down and I can't concentrate, I actually had this experience the other day when I was finishing up my japa in the morning and both my boys woke up and sure enough, as children will randomly do, they got in a big argument and I'm in the front room trying to finish up my japa, trying to concentrate, and they come in and I realize I have to put my japa away to stay focused on the boys and I get so frustrated, I can't even do my japa properly. Why can't they stay peaceful in the morning? And so instead, if I turn it around and I think I'm so fortunate that I have 2 boys here who Krishna has given me to take the responsibility of parenting, or I'm so fortunate that I have this colleague, this coworker, who may not be a devotee at this point, but has Krishna seated in his heart, and he is an eternal servant of Krishna, And in that way, practice mindfulness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us such a beautiful practical application of that in his prayers of the Sharanagati. He says, "My dear Lord, nothing belongs to me. Father, friend, brother, you are these to me. And those whom I call my friends, my wife, my sons, my daughters, they are all your servants and maidservants. Whatever care I take for them is only as it relates to you. If I continue to maintain my wealth, family members, home, and wife, it is because they are just yours, and I am just the gatekeeper and the watchman who guards the properties in your household. Every single thing I do is done according to your desire." And so if we focus our minds in that type of work in devotion, then that is attaining samadhi without having to go anywhere. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvan manovir. We stay in our exact spots. We do the hard work that we are doing, and we can attain samadhi even today, even right now, by practicing this Krishna conscious mindfulness, by seeing that everybody around me, appreciating the moments of each devotee that I come in contact with, each non-devotee that I come in contact with, and being very grateful and savoring those moments. Secondly, another very important point that is spoken here and in other places when you talk about samadhi is what we have to get rid of, and that is the desire to enjoy our senses. In order to go internally to establish this place of happiness, we must gradually and sometimes very quickly understand that the more sense gratification we try and do, the more happiness we get from our material body and senses, the less our internal meditation and samadhi will be attained. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Bhogai shraya prasaktanam daya parita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho na vidhiyate." If you're trying to attain samadhi, then this, the mind of one who is too attached to the sense enjoyment and material opulence, because your mind gets bewildered by all of these things, that resolute determination that everything I do will be for Krishna's devotional service, that is how samadhi is being translated in this verse. Samadhi is the resolute determination that I will engage in devotional service in every single one of the steps of my day, in every single minute, in every single hour. Everything I do, even if it is not Shravanam Kirtanam, it is an offering to Krishna. But if you are attached to sense gratification, then you are just thinking of yourself and your senses, which are temporary, and so then it is very difficult for us to attain that samadhi. Now, the lucky thing is that we don't have to endeavor separately for getting rid of sense enjoyment. We do not have to go to the forest and get rid of all of the sense pleasures around us. The way is that we have to use these senses. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevayor Bhakti Ruchate. We use these senses as an offering for Krishna. And through that process, the senses become so purified and the internal meditation becomes so much stronger that the sense needs start lessening. And instead of cooking for my pleasure or my children's pleasure, I start thinking, what does Gornitai want, my deities at home? What does Shishi Radha Kalachanji want? What do the devotees want? And Krishna begins an internal relationship with you where you start communicating to him what he would like to eat that day or how you can worship him. And the best way, as Grahastha says, to get rid of this sense pleasure is by establishing an internal relationship with the Lord, is again spoken here, Vaikuntha Lila Vidyanam, concentration on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you wake up every day as you are already doing, but do it with your children, do it with your family members, and you sit and you read the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you read so many different pastimes that in your interactions with everyone around you, the non-devotees at work, the devotees that are around you, your family members, they'll come up in your mind where you'll start remembering those pastimes and connecting them to the different moments in your day. Oh, here are my kids' shoes. I remember when Yashoda Maiya had to force Krishna to get shoes to in order to walk on the land of Vrindavan. And little things like this. Oh, here I got in an altercation with a colleague. I remember in the Krishna book, there was such an interesting story of how Krishna on his own started getting an altercation with his cowherd boyfriends. Like that, you start connecting all of the pastimes that you have heard to the different things that you are interacting with or engaged with. And that is the highest level of samadhi, where Krishna has now taken seat in your heart and he's so present there that he becomes infused everywhere you go. And now every person that comes in contact with you just by being around you becomes purified. So I work at the Gurukul in Dallas, the school here, Tikechi Academy. It was the first school established by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and I'm very fortunate to be the vice principal here at the school. And we try to do this with all of our students, that their day starts with Krishna's transcendental pastimes, and that any type of moments that they have, whether they're stressed about their schoolwork or they're getting low grades on a specific topic or they don't have internal motivation or they're fighting with some friends, which is very common with children, we try and do the same principle where we practice this Krishna conscious mindfulness in appreciating each other's relationships, and secondly, to bring in Krishna's pastimes through every one of the lessons and through every single one of the endeavors that they are trying to accomplish. And a very important type of focus that is similar to samadhi that is in the educational psychology is called flow. And flow, this particular psychological process of flow, is also known as the zone, being in a zone. It's a mental state of operation where the person that's performing that activity is so completely immersed in the feeling of energized, focused, that automatically enjoyment comes from it. And so the work that we select for the students to work in, the projects that they do, the trick in educational psychology is to activate that principle of flow, where they're so focused on the work that they're doing that they're getting a natural enjoyment out of it, and then discipline becomes a non-issue. They're not going to fight with the student next door because they're so motivated and activated by that. So through this Krishna conscious mindfulness, if we are able to activate this samadhi or this flow, this feeling of internal immersion, internal absorption in our work, because we know that this is satisfying Krishna so much, me sitting in this car and dealing with this traffic and me feeling frustrated that I can't get to work or stressed out, this type of stress is satisfying Krishna. Let me be so absorbed in my work because I know it is directly satisfying Krishna, that not only will there be an internal sense of material pleasure, but the spiritual sense of pleasure that comes will be even stronger. And Srila Prabhupada really pushed his disciples in so many different ways to do this, to go and do your work, to challenge yourself. Of course, in those days, he was spreading Krishna consciousness so strongly and so powerfully. He pushed his devotees within 2 months. I want the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be complete. And they were working so hard, continuous work. They never had time. Those devotees had very little time to go and do 3-4 hours of meditation or morning program. Of course, in those days, everything they were doing was straight for him. The one thing they always never gave up on was their japa. After their japa, everything else was continuous work. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj once told him, Tamalakrishna Goswami and his great Giriraj Maharaj, they were in Bombay working with him to set up the Juhu Temple. And they had said to Srila Prabhupada, we're working so hard with this Mr. N who is fighting us and trying to dismantle the shed that is right above Radha Rasbihari's head. And there's so much stress and so much paperwork and so many fights with the legal team. And I'm not able to.
Nah.
Tamalakrishna Maharaj said, my dear Srila Prabhupada, nah. I can't chant my rounds properly. I can't concentrate on Krishna. And what did Srila Prabhupada say? That is natural. Sometimes when I am disturbed, then I also avoid these stressful situations. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, don't avoid them. You should welcome the stressful situation. They give us the opportunity to advance more. Hare Krishna Mataji, I'm just finishing.
Mataji, you know, by mistake we did put on mute, so your whatever the Prabhupada answer, can you repeat that for us, please?
Yes, for sure. I think, what was the last thing that was heard?
Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asking Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada said...
what he said.
It's natural.
Yes, so,
and then,
So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I can't chant my rounds properly. I cannot concentrate on Krishna. And Prabhupada said, that's okay, that's natural. And then the line he said was, sometimes when I am disturbed, then I also. And so it's so beautiful. You can never imagine that Srila Prabhupada would say, oh, I'm too stressed, I can't concentrate on Krishna. You know, Srila Prabhupada is a great pure devotee. He would always be concentrating on Krishna. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj laughed with him, like, you know, they're sharing this beautiful moment. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, you know, I used to avoid these difficult, stressful situations, because sometimes as devotees, we think we can't, stress is against our, of course, stress is not good for us, but we want to avoid the activities that may be a little difficult to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, we should welcome these. They give us the opportunity to advance more, because we're taking headaches for Krishna. We're working hard for Krishna, and he wants us to see that. And that is our samadhi. That worship, that work is our samadhi. And there's, I'll end with the very last story of Srila Prabhupada. He was sitting in Bombay, and some Indian gentlemen came to sit and watch him and sit with him in the room. And within the period of 45 minutes, you know, this Indian gentleman was thinking, oh, what a great sadhu. I'm going to go spend some time with him, and I'll become so purified and so peaceful and so content by spending time and doing some perhaps yogic asanas with this great sadhu, Srila Prabhupada. And the entire time Srila Prabhupada is sitting there, one devotee comes in and says, oh, Srila Prabhupada, we just noticed that they are starting the work, laborers that are working on the building of the temple are stealing this such and such bricks and mortar. And Prabhupada is getting firm. You have to be really careful. People cheat. You have to make sure you have a guard there that's watching over those bricks all day and all night. And then also make sure that the cement that they're bringing isn't mixed with other items, and back and forth, and go to the bank and make sure that the money is put in the bank. And the entire 45 minutes or the entire time that that gentleman is sitting there, I don't know how long it was, Prabhupada is engaged in active work for Krishna consciousness. At no point did he sit down and pick up his beads and do his japa. Of course, we know he did that in the morning, but it wasn't that his whole day was just in japa. He was actively working, engaged in stressful activities for work. And then after the gentleman was going to leave, and he was a little disappointed, and he felt like, you know, he had come here to this great sadhu, and what did he see? And he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, everything is all right, okay, we'll meet another time. And he said, no, everything's not all right. I'm watching you, and I'm thinking about my life. You know, I may be the head of some company or something, and I'm engaged in all my work, and you're saying you're a sadhu, but you're doing the exact same thing I'm doing. Where is the difference? And so Srila Prabhupada smiled and told him, come here. And so what a lucky guy. He's asking Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if he was asking in a challenging way or not. What a fortunate person that he's been called to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asks him, put your ear, lift up my shirt, and put your ear on my back. And so the gentleman does so and goes very close to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada says, sit here for a little bit. And Srila Prabhupada continues the discussion that he's having with the devotee. And even though Srila Prabhupada is talking externally, the Indian gentleman has his ear on Srila Prabhupada's back. And he hears inside of Srila Prabhupada's body sound reverberation, vibration and reverberation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That all... his whole body is automatically reciting Krishna's holy name, because he has completely sacrificed and surrendered and offered every single endeavor of his to the holy name of Krishna. So that is what we can understand to be samadhi. We have our 2 hours of japa we do in the morning. If we're not able to do 2 hours, we can do 5 minutes. five rounds, and then build up to 8 rounds, and then build up to 12 rounds. But in that japa, we're asking, please engage me in your service. So for the whole rest of the day, Krishna is engaging us in all kinds of service. We're saying, Krishna, let me offer everything I'm doing during the rest of the day to you, and please accept that as your service. And then you read at the end of the day, you can read Krishna conscious stories to your family members, and then make it a sandwich. So every single action you are doing in the day goes to Krishna, and then it'll automatically come back in your mind and in your heart as you're doing your daily work. And that will be the actual samadhi that we can attain. And I beg for the mercy of all the Vaishnavas that I can also learn how to do this, and that I can also become expert in this samadhi, mindful, Krishna conscious mindfulness and meditation. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So are there any comments or critiques or questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Madhavan Pranam to you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, and there was a different bent in your class about, how you said you gave your personal example. Thank you so much for that. And Mataji, I'm sorry for muting everyone. I thought you were logged in from the admin ID. I think Sheetal Mataji can give you that next time. So when we have a little bit of disturbance, we just mute, and so I never realized that you are from the other, this thing. So I'm sorry about that in the middle. Yeah, and you were mentioning from your personal example that how when your boys, they're getting ready, and all of us are in this grihastha ashram with our kids, and some are going to college, school, and things like that, and how you can take like 5 minutes of, meditation in the middle of the hush-bush going on and things like that. And also, I wanted to share one personal experience. Like even me, I remember when Krishna consciousness was not there in our family, small things in the family could actually trigger a fight, between, I have two girls, so, something or the other, there'll be some fight and some menial thing or some expectation and things like that. But ever since, the kids are also chanting and the environment is so peaceful at home that somehow you don't want to disturb that environment, because as they say that today's, I always tell my daughters that today they, if you make it nice and Krishna conscious, then tomorrow morning your chanting will be nice. If you want to like quarrel and be involved in all petty matters, then that's going to also affect your this thing. Because the mind kind of retains what we did, although it's fresh in the morning, but it still retains at least one day before. So that kind of insight, So thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful class. And you were saying mindful chanting. So I don't know whether I'm using the right word. So you meant that in the sense that you made a connection by saying that if we are chanting in the morning, then we are kind of Krishna conscious all day. Now, the thing is that it really does not happen to me very often, this thing. How we can actually connect that chanting to make it, all our activities Krishna consciousness. If you can add a little bit, maybe my chanting is not so pure or whatever it is, but it's like mechanically I'm chanting Krishna's name, but how that is making the whole day Krishna conscious, if you can give some example or something. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Rupini Mataji. Yes, it's very... It's actually very simple, because we are taking the time out to connect with Krishna in the morning. So he is an original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's very real, and he opens his eyes and his ears, and he listens, and then he starts interacting with us throughout the day. Even if our japa, we feel, is just mechanical, just the fact that we're saying his name, just like if someone immediately called your name from the other room, immediately how you would listen. And so even if we're just feeling like it's mechanical, we're calling his name. So immediately that day, now he has come in charge of that day. And when you're calling his name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, meaning is, let me engage in your service. That means that everything that I'm doing, let it become your service. Let us offer it to him. And so Nityananda Prabhu so nicely also speaks on this point, that even if we feel like what we're doing isn't direct devotional service, it isn't at the temple doing puja arti, it isn't opening Srimad Bhagavatam, because we don't have the luxury to do that 24/7. We have to sleep, we have to eat, we have to work, we have to interact with people. But every interaction, we in our mind say, Dear Krishna, this belongs to you. This is not mine. I offer this to you. This work that I'm doing, I offer this to you. This fun I'm having, I offer this to you. This sleep that I have to do in order to be strong the next day, I offer this to you. Then everything becomes service, because it's not about the actual item that you're doing. It's about the consciousness. Of course, bar the four regulated principles, you cannot engage in those meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication, and say, Krishna, I offer this to you. Taking away from those gross material activities that are not allowed to be offered to Krishna, everything else can be offered to Krishna. And so because it's offered to Krishna, you start mindfulness in the material sphere is when you, in those moments that are creating stress, you stop yourself. You take a deep breath, you stop yourself, and you think, I am grateful for this interaction. I am grateful for this stress. What lesson is it teaching me? And my dear Lord, please help me know what lesson this is teaching me, how to react to this, and I offer this to you. And then as you continue, you'll start noticing that Krishna starts removing those things that will cause more sense gratification. He starts removing them, and he starts inserting in your life things that are more direct devotional service. You'll have a chance to go and see more devotees. Things will start coming into play in your life that will give you the opportunity and the chance to be in more direct devotional service all the time. But I think for all of us that are grihasthas that live in this world, and especially in America, I'm very fortunate. I work with devotees all day, and I'm living in the temple, like near the temple. And my kids are in the school in the Gurukul, but not all children are that fortunate. Most are not, and not all grihasthas are that fortunate. We live in the real world. We have work to do, jobs to do, and most of the people that we're around are not devotees. And we have relationships with them to establish. But you say even that relationship with my colleague or my coworker or my kid's friend's mother that, you know, invited my kid for a birthday party, that is in your service, my Lord, that I offer to you. Please let me know how I can become mindful in that service. So it's just a matter of changing the consciousness.
Thank you so much. Very practically you've explained how we can connect everything to Krishna, chanting our devotional service. Lovely class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for your very, very enlightening class. You give some examples that stay in the head. Like last time when you came, you said that how when your son opened the fridge and dropped the milk and you controlled, instead of getting angry, you said that he had a long day, and that really made me think. And when such situations come, how to apply those. So thank you so much for filling your realizations in the class. So that gives us hope that yes, we can also follow Srimad Bhagavatam. So my question today is, since you are involved with the kids and involved with the devotees also, it's about resolving a problem within kids. Like we have devotee families getting together and children are there, and sometimes a child is seen to be trying to trouble others, and that happens repeatedly because...
Hare Krishna, Shital Mataji is talking right now.
Lalitangi Mataji.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji.
Asking question.
Yes.
Is it okay to ask, Mataji?
Yes, Lalitangi Mataji, you were saying about conflict and resolving with the children. So please continue.
Yeah, with children. And how to resolve that? As mothers are always attached to the kids, and at the same time, when we come in a social environment, we are responsible that, especially in Bhakti Vrikshas and other things, we are responsible that it goes on peacefully, and we have to be an example for others. So how to... it becomes a sticky issue to tell somebody that this is what your child is doing repeatedly. But we can't let it go because that's what is repeatedly happening. So how to solve it in a Krishna conscious way and practical way?
Yes, so I find that especially from our culture, those of us who are from Indian background, and I'm saying very generally, I hope I'm not making any offense, but I find in myself that we generally try to avoid confrontation and we don't want to do it. And so we feel like, oh, I don't want to create more disturbance by saying this particular child is acting in this specific way or how can they both work together. We try and avoid it and we put it off so that it doesn't ever get resolved. But what I have learned in working with, and we have this issue all the time at our temple and our community with all of our children, instead of putting it off, having those tools, Hare Krishna, can you hear me? Hare Krishna?
Yeah, I can, yeah. Yes, Mataji, now
okay. #101
So somebody is calling something? Hare Krishna? Lalitangi Mataji, are you able to hear me, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm hearing Mataji. I think there's some background.
Okay.
Mataji, I think we should give you the number you can log in from that number so we can mute everyone.
Okay, so let me finish this and then I can call from that number
Yes,
this
Mataji,
point. Is that okay?
It's like in a climax scene, cliffhanger, so please finish.
Yes. So instead of avoiding it, be very confident that working with the conflict with the children will not only increase the relationship between the children, but it will also increase the relationship with the adults that are there. And so you're having Bhakti Viksha programs, and it's a management strategy that every single time you get together with a group, there's norming, there's first forming where you form the group. And every single time after you form the group, there's going to be storming. Storming means the group members are now trying to fit in with each other, and there's going to be conflict. When that conflict comes first with the children, see this as a great, great, great gift that has arrived. Oh, it's so nice that these kids are going through conflict, because now we can sit down and we can learn something more, how to deal with that conflict and how to progress through that conflict. So first, that mood needs to be there, that anytime the conflict comes, let's embrace it, let's not run away from it. So as soon as you have that, then you feel that confidence, okay, I can go speak to the mother about it. And then you go and you sit with the mother, and very lovingly, you first establish a relationship with them if they're already friends, then you establish a relationship and you start with the positive, you know? My child comes here to the Bhakti Viksha and your children also come, and I'd really, really like to figure out ways for the children to increase their relationship with each other, to increase their friendship with each other, to feel more comfortable in their friendship with each other. And in order to do that, what are the different things that we could do? And so once you start increasing the friendship, now there's a little bit of a groundwork there to be able to talk about the conflict. And then you say, you know, it's a little bit difficult. My daughter is trying to do such and such activity, and it's a little bit difficult when your son comes and does such and such activity. But we always do sandwich feedback, which is first you say something very positive about the child, because we naturally, like you're saying, every mom is very defensive over their own children. And especially we go to two extremes. We get so angry at our child for creating a disturbance, and then we get so angry at the person who's brought up the fact that how could our child create that disturbance. So it is very touchy, but if you start with the sandwich, that I've really noticed in your child that he does this wonderful thing and that activity, and he, you know, did this particular item, it means you have to actually think, how am I going to increase the relationship between the two children that are having conflict? Not how am I just going to correct that other child's activity so my kid can be fine. How am I going to increase the positive relationship? This one item, so you do the sandwich, which is a compliment. Then you bring in the critique, or is it okay if he next time doesn't do this particular thing? And then you bring in again another compliment. I'm, you know, it's really exciting because they, for example, just a simple example, you know, they're playing so nicely outside, and I really love the way that your son interacts with my child. But what I notice sometimes is that he hits her, and so I was just wondering if there was a way we could reduce the hitting. But at the same time, my daughter looks forward to coming here to the Bhakti Viksha because your child will be there because they're so creative, like sandwich. And then that little bit piece of hitting doesn't become so strong. Now, because moms are extremely, like, moms get really very intense when it comes to their own children, the focus of their conversation will most likely go to the hitting. If the other person says, what? How can you say that? My child never hits. Your child is this, that. suddenly now you don't become defensive. Now you become in a place of listening. Oh, is that so? Immediately empathic listening, you can look up. You turn yourself into a place of listening now, listening to that person. Because the message is spoken. Through that sandwich, your message is spoken. No matter what, they will be more attentive to them now. Even if they don't say it to you right then and there, oh, we'll fix that, they will absolutely now be more attentive to trying to ask their child to hit less or do whatever disturbing thing they're doing. And then you just come in and say, oh, you know, my apologies, or you're feeling this, and I understand that, and just now in listening mode. The fact that it has been spoken and it has gone in their ears and that they have a response to it shows that the message is out there and that it will be fixed now gradually. Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, very much, very much. And it's a fact what you said, is like we postpone the problem until it snowballs and we can't take it anymore. That's true. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When I was in one of the class, there was one more strategy they said that was even while you are, confronting, or you could say critiquing, you always try to help by critiquing that, okay, if we can do this, or like come up some brainstorming, some more ideas so that, things can be better. So critiquing and also giving some positive feedback ideas. In other words, you help them that, okay, by doing this, maybe the things will be better. So there's like a two or three outcome you tell or you share, and, by doing this differently, they'll be happy, something like that. Then they are more willing to listen rather than just, because not everybody has those outlook on the issues. Yeah. Because why these kids fight is because their original, like at that home or somewhere else or something, they don't have any better things to do, and that's why they are doing that. But then you tell them, you guide them according to their desire or something, like a new things that they can do. So then the fight will be subsided later on. So you have to still bend them to the new thoughts and new ideas. But that's
that
what they. But that's what I have learned from some previous conversation. I don't know if it's new in Davan or something, but I'm sharing that too. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that is actually so important that you mentioned the brainstorming, because also as parents, when we go to another parent and give advice, oh, you should do this or you should do that, then everybody, people may think, who does she think she is? Why is she giving? So brainstorming is a great, like, this is an issue that we're having. How can we resolve this? Can you help me come up with some ideas, some thoughts as to how to resolve it? And now it's not your responsibility to resolve it, and you've given the responsibility to the group or the other parent that's there in a very loving way. I think that's an excellent, excellent point. And then you said that, children may come and fight. So what I've noticed is even the children who are chanting regularly, children means fighting. Even for adults, it means fighting. That Krishna consciousness and becoming Krishna conscious doesn't mean now we will never have conflict and we will never fight. That's actually a complete misconception. What it means is that when that conflict comes up, when King Rahugana was on the palanquin and Jed Bharat was holding him and going back and forth, and he jumped off and he got angry at Jed Bharat, Bharat Maharaj is explaining in the verse that I became angry, I felt upset. And so conflict is there even in the highest stages. But that Prabhuji is saying how to resolve it, how to work through it, that's where we bring our strength. That conflict is a real gift for our families, our communities, that this is a chance for me to increase my relationship with this person and focusing on the positive, interaction, how to get through it. There's a few really good parenting books you can take a look at. One is How to Listen So Kids Will Talk, and another is by Adele Faber, and another one that she's written is Siblings without rivalry, that's a big one for me because I have two boys, how to reduce their conflict. Most of the time when kids are arguing with each other, the best technique, if it's not something intensely physical, is to bring both children to you and to say, hey, we are going to be doing this particular kirtan right now. We'd like you to participate in the kirtan, but whatever issues you have amongst yourself, if they're peers, we trust both of you in your innate Krishna consciousness that you know how to resolve this. So my aunt, my foy, had also told me the same thing. She had six kids she was watching, and she said the same thing. We trust you that you can figure this out. Adults, when they get in, they make it worse. So please step outside and come back inside and let us know how you resolved it. And don't come in until it's resolved. I do this regularly with the boys. Please step outside. Now they know, okay, they've been removed from the house, not in a negative way, but take your space, go step outside, and both of you discuss it. When you're done yelling and screaming, figure it out. You know, I've been your mom for 15 years now. You have the tools to figure this out. Work it out, and then come back in and tell me your decision. Now you're empowering them to take on themselves how to resolve their conflict instead of the mom always coming in or the parents always coming in. There's a lot of different techniques that can be used. So...
yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's really enlightening to hear you both. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Damodaranand Das from Bloomington, Illinois. My danda was to you. Thank you for
Krishna,
your class, which is always full of sweetness. Your voice is full of sweetness.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
And from what I hear, you live what you preach, so that brings a lot of force to your preaching. And I think you have a background in psychology. That's why you're so well-versed with dealing with children. My question to you is, can you please explain a little bit more on the flow phenomenon that you discussed?
Yes, it's an incredible phenomena that we are working to activate in our classrooms. And it is described as complete and total immersion. So much immersion that you kind of even lose sense of other engagements. And so we can see this with children when they're trying to struggle for a puzzle that they haven't mastered yet. And they're sitting and they're so absorbed that if anybody comes in and talks or any other activity happens, you know, like say it's a United States, 50 states puzzle and they're learning about that in social studies. So they have to put the states together. Instead of sitting down for them and making them write it, where they have to write down all the 50 states or draw it. If it's a sensorial activity where their senses are completely engaged and they're trying to figure out the puzzle, it activates more of that immersion, total immersion. And they're so immersed that they feel energized focus. And so even in our work, even in the jobs that we have, even if it's a computer programmer or somehow or another to activate that type of flow in the work that we're doing. And the way to do it, I have found, with the devotees that I work with or the different people that I work with, the way to do it if you really don't like your job or really don't like what you're doing is if you internally trigger it as a connection to Krishna through your japa. If you trigger that work, that this work is an offering to Krishna, which means every movement I'm making and every person that I'm talking to is now connecting to Krishna, then that'll help us in this flow. And so there's actually, I can give you a little bit more information. There's six qualities of flow. It's intense and focused concentration on the present moment. There's a merging of action and awareness. There's a loss of reflective self-consciousness, so you lose your sense of selfishness in those moments. There's a sense of personal control or agency over the situation and activity. And there's an experience of that specific activity being intrinsically rewarding. So this idea of flow is really quite a karma yoga activity, and it is very much a lower level. If it's not, Krishna is not brought in the sense in the center, it can be very just sense gratification type of flow, but we bring Krishna in it, and it becomes the highest level of samadhi and the highest level of bhakti, karma yoga that Krishna speaks in the third and fifth chapter. And the biggest thing about this is that you get an internal feeling of enjoyment. I think all of us have hobbies that we like to do that when we're engaged in it, we get so like for me, it's graphic designing or it's making short videos. When I'm making a video for the activity that's happening at the school, I get so entrenched in it, like, because I enjoy it. You know, some other people, you may enjoy other things like that, but if there's a way to create that in as many, and maybe not all, but as many actions that you do during the day at your work or at your job or cooking for your family or whatever your responsibilities may be, to activate that idea of flow materially and then spiritually do it through your connection with the Holy Name in the morning. Is that helpful? And the reason, oh, one other thing about flow is that it was called flow because the people who went through this experience of complete immersion in the activity that they're focused on, it's the metaphor they had was a water current carrying them along, that now they're not even externally endeavoring. The activity is just coming, it's just taking place because of how much enjoyment and inner absorption they're getting from it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
is
Mother.
That's
very helpful, and I think I'm going to pursue it more because just listening once, you know, doesn't sink in my mind. So, but you know, you connecting it to Krishna is very nice, and I think we can all use
it. So, if you feel like you want to pursue it more, then the best thing is to very practically write the list of the items that you do in your life right now that you feel connected to Krishna and the items that you do right now that don't feel connected to Krishna. And then in those items that you are doing, how to increase them, and the items that are not connected to Krishna, like I remember when my kids were younger, the boys were born, and I had a really good, nice, strong sadhana before the babies came. And then I realized a lot of my time, the first like 4 or 5 months, was in changing diapers. And I remember really feeling like, Krishna, like, what is this? Like, I have to change these diapers, and I'm supposed to like, my whole consciousness became on the bodily platform of taking care of feeding, bathing this baby. And so at that point, I remember realizing that I'm seeing this changing of diapers as a real negative thing, and I really don't like doing it. Let me change it around and figure out how to make this an absorption and offer this as service. And that probably was the biggest challenge for me, was how to turn that into a flow. But everything can be offered to Krishna. So.
That's so nice. Thank you, Mother. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So where did you learn about this flow, Mataji?
In psychology, I do have a background in psychology, and I have to continuously be studying as an educator here at the school. And so I just had come in contact, at a professional development course that we were taking about 11 years ago. They had mentioned it, and then I did a little bit more study and research up on it. You can Google it, and you get quite a bit of information there.
Okay, so how do you Google that?
You just write flow, psychology, or... Flow, it's a common educational term for figuring out how to increase the children's focus on their math and language arts and English and social studies, how to create materials. You can write psychology and then you can write flow. And there's Wikipedia and a few different articles about it. All right.
Thank you, Mataji, so much. I'm thinking that, you know, Preeti Vilasri Mataji comes in a mid-morning conference call, and she's looking for some classes where we can, show short clips of how this call is also a counseling call. So I'm going to ask her to, add sections today on the website. She's doing the website management. And so this call is very helpful. We want more people to join. And it's not only about just chanting in the morning and reading Bhagavatam, but it's also counseling. We get so much of counseling for our, so many daily problems. So, you proved that right. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Vandasranam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much for giving such a wonderful class. I have one question regarding, like you said, you are a vice principal in the last school. So, do you know about Srimad Bhagavatam? We can get notes on it online or study guide kind of thing.
Yes, Arudha Mataji from Boise, she has compiled a really nice, and it's just new, I think it came out this year, Bhagavatam for Children, Srimad Bhagavatam for Children. She has a volume one, and I believe the other volumes are coming out. So you can try that. Let's see, it's Stories from Srimad Bhagavatam by Arudha Mataji. I'm trying to see if I can look it up.
Which Mataji? Can you please repeat the name?
So there's this great Mataji who has written a few homeschooling books, and she herself, she's the mother of two young men who finished up their college education by the time they were 18, 19, and they went to Oxford. And the way that she raised them in the temple in Idaho, and also raised a whole group of children underneath them, was just through reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And through that, they were able to enter college at age 12. They started the Boise State University, and then they got so much high academic success just from all of the knowledge and teaching everything through Srimad Bhagavatam. So she has written, compiled a book of Srimad Bhagavatam stories for children. And I can send the link when I find it. I can send the link on the WhatsApp group so that you know where that is.
Mataji, Divya Manjari Mataji, we have that in Charlotte also.
Oh, okay, Mataji, can you please send me that? It will be very helpful. And thank you, Gopi Gita Mataji, for your help.
Thank
Hare
you,
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gopi Gita Mataji.
And Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Conference, na?
Yes. Mataji, you want to say something?
Yeah, just a very nice class and a very... I don't know,
I have to kind of... We are living in but we feel that we are in spiritual association.
Divya Manjari Mataji, we can hear you. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Kumodiki Mataji.
Hear your conversation, so please mute. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mataji, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Mataji, just, I want to remind you immediately. Yeah.
Wonderful. Hi, Krishna Kumodiki Mataji. And also educational. Thank you very much for the... How to deal with the children and things like that. It's very wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Komodiki Mataji. Please give me your blessings.
Hare Krishna Gita. Gopi Gita Mataji. Thank you very much. Because I was offering to my daughter-in-law. I say, whatever you do, you just offer to Krishna.
Yes.
But she said, well, I'm doing this for myself. How can I offer this? It doesn't matter. Krishna said, offer everything to me. Whatever you do, offer.
Yes.
She was kind of hesitant. I said, don't worry, do it. So then, I don't know if she's doing it. No, I'm going to ask her. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna. You know who I am, right? Komatiki Mataji?
I think I have heard or met you, but I don't remember at this time.
I'm Vishwambar Prabhu's daughter, and we knew you growing up when we were really young.
Oh, okay. It's very fun, very, very nice. You have given very nice.
Prabhuji came back or he's still in India?
He's in India still.
Yeah, I tried calling him, but he didn't pick up. So okay.
Yes, he's still traveling. I think he had gone to Dubai to do some preaching there.
Okay.
Very nice. You both are doing very wonderful service.
Only because of all of you, only because we have all of you to look up to. You know, we have to somehow or another fill your shoes. So,
thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Please come again and enlighten us more and more. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanukam Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Mataji, thank you so much. Thank you for your wonderful association. Please keep coming, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, so much. So class is done now?
Sheetal Mataji, Hare Krishna Mataji. Sheetal Mataji, you can share the admin login with Mataji next time she can log in. We are trying to have all this to come to admin login so we can mute centrally. Thank you, Mataji.
All right. Hari Bol, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.